As I said, Palm Sunday is such a important message, but it's a little understood message. It's so important that all four Gospels have a record of it. That's one of the rare things in the Gospels. But all four Gospels include an account of Palm Sunday. We're going to read from Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. And the story starts there in verse 28. And when he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he drew near to Bethpage and Bethany, at the mount called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village opposite you, and where you enter, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Loose him, bring it here, and if anyone asks you why you loosen it, thus you shall say to him, 'Because the Lord has need of it.'" So those who were sent away, on their way, found it just as he'd said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said, "Why are you loosing the colt?" And they said, "The Lord has need of him." And they brought him to Jesus. And they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes in the road. And as he was drawing near to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And he answered and said to them, "I tell you that if these should be silent, the stones would immediately cry out." Father, we pray that you'll just bless your precious word to us this morning. Amen. Yes, I'm sure you remember Palm Sundays right from when you was a child and probably went to Sunday school yourself. And I don't know if it's so common these days, but in those days lots of children went home from the Sunday school with a palm cross. You know, made a palm and to celebrate this wonderful event. But when we look at it, when we really look at it, why is it so wonderful? I see three main things to do with Palm Sunday here. We see stones, we see palm branches, and we see a donkey. Three things. Stones, palm branches, and a donkey. First of all, the stones. Jesus said that if the disciples, if his followers held their peace, the very stones would cry out. Now, our Lord was not a liar. And as impossible as that may seem to us, I believe it was true. I believe the very stones would have cried out because of what was happening that day. Palm branches were torn down off the palms, which were very common and practically everywhere in the Holy Land in those days. And they took the palm branches off the tree, they laid them in the way. Why? Why the palm branches? If we was to convert that into modern day customs and things like that, we would probably say, well, Jesus was being given the red carpet treatment. You know, someone who's very special arrives somewhere, they lay out the red carpet, don't they? You know, welcome them. If the queen or something like that goes somewhere, the red carpet's rolled out. Jesus had the palm branches rolled out on the way. This was something special. And Jesus rode on a donkey. This was his own doing. He himself arranged for that donkey, told the disciples to go and get the donkey. And whether or not we want to read something miraculous into that, I don't know. Could well be. Had he prearranged with the man that he could use his donkey, or was it just the very fact that the Lord had need of him? We don't know that. Not going to speculate on that. But a donkey, why a donkey? Jesus had been to Jerusalem on many occasions before that. We've got other recordings of in the Word of Jesus going up to Jerusalem. He hadn't used a donkey before. Not that we know of. So why a donkey this time? And of course we can check it out. We can look in the Word of God and in that wonderful Old Testament book of Zechariah, and we can see that Jesus came into Jerusalem on a donkey to fulfill prophecy. As it tells us, Zechariah 9:9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." It's there in detail in the Old Testament. And Jesus fulfilled that prophecy that day. Perhaps the disciples knew about that prophecy. They were Jews, after all. They knew the Old Testament pretty well. So perhaps they knew that prophecy, and perhaps they realized, this is the king that's coming. He's on the donkey. He's riding into Jerusalem. You see, something special. The king was coming. But you see, Israel had what we could say, I suppose, a one-track mind. All they could ever think about was the kingdom, the coming of the Messiah. And even Orthodox Jews today, they think that they've got the same thing. They're still looking for that Messiah. They're still looking for the kingdom to come. Promised over and over in the Old Testament. Even after all this happened and Jesus appeared to them after his resurrection. Find it recorded in Acts chapter 1. No, just before his resurrection. After his resurrection, sorry. Before his ascension. And the disciples still said to him, "Will you again at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" They were still thinking the kingdom. That's what Jesus had come for. He was the Messiah. He's going to bring the kingdom in. But they failed to see there was two comings mentioned in the Old Testament. They failed to see that. They failed to see Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgression and bruised for our iniquity. They failed to see that. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. They failed to see Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? They failed to see the writings of David when he said, "They pierced my hands and my feet." And he prophesied that many years before crucifixion had even been invented. They failed to see that in the Old Testament prophets. All they could think about was the kingdom. The kingdom. But of course Jesus had to come and he had to die. So why would the stones cry out on this particular day? I want to show you, I believe that this was like the forerunner. If you like, we could say it's like a rehearsal for the real thing. Because we know that Jesus is coming. Now, I'm not talking about the rapture of the church at this time. I'm talking about his second coming in power and great glory. And we read about that again in that wonderful Old Testament book of Zechariah. All right, Zechariah and chapter 14. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst, for I will gather all nations to battle against Jerusalem. That, of course, is Armageddon. The city will be taken, the houses rifled, the people ravished. Half of the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight for those nations, as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day, his feet will stand upon the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. His feet will stand upon the Mount of Olives. Remember when Jesus ascended into heaven, the angel's message? This same Jesus shall come in like manner as you've seen him go. He rose up, where? From the Mount of Olives. He's coming back again in power and glory, where? To the Mount of Olives. His feet shall stand that day on that mount. Disciples must have known these scriptures. And we look back on Luke's account. Sorry, Luke 19. Lost my place now. Right, Luke 19. And we look back there. And we see verse 37. And it says, then as he was now drawing near to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Notice that as he drew near to the descent of the Mount of Olives. You see, the penny dropped. They realized what the Old Testament had prophesied. They realized that the King was coming, and his feet shall on that day stand upon the Mount of Olives. They realized that. And as he drew near to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the crowd went balmy. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Lord, save us. The King is coming. This is what they expected, the Messiah to come. The Messiah to come into Jerusalem to take the government upon his shoulders. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And this was it in their mind. This was what was going to happen. This is what was going to happen. So how disillusioned were they when he was taken and nailed to a cross? They thought this was the end of everything. This is it. Finished. They'd given up their life, put their life on hold, left their boats, left their money changing desk, it left everything to follow him. And now he was hanging on a cross. The Messiah. The centurion even shouting out, surely this was the Son of God. Yes, Palm Sunday was the forerunner of the great coming kingdom. But sadly, Israel missed it. Look down from verse 41 in Luke 19. As he drew near, he saw the city, and he wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. The day will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you and surround you and close you in on every side and level you and your children with you to the ground. And they will not leave one stone upon another. That was fulfilled. 70 AD. Titus went in with his Roman armies. And he flattened Jerusalem. Many, many Jews died. Those that escaped scattered into the countries around there. The temple crushed. One stone not left upon another. Fulfilled to the letter. Why? Why did it happen? Jesus said, because you did not know the time of your visitation. They did not know. They had this one thing in their mind. The Messiah, the kingdom. Deliverance from Rome. The kingdom of God on earth. But they failed to see. He had to die. O Jerusalem, he said. O Jerusalem. He wept over that city. He wept. Because they did not know. The things that made for their peace. You know there's going to be a lot of people today who are going to be in exactly the same position. Israel couldn't see two comings. They could only see one. And much of the Church of Jesus Christ today can't see two comings. They can only see one. All they see him coming at the end of the tribulation, set up his kingdom. They see that coming, but they fail to see that the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet them in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. The rapture of the church. He's coming to take his saints home. I hope you believe that. There's many that are missing it, exactly the same as like Israel did. They're missing it. Many people sitting in church today have got no idea that the Lord is coming, even at the very doors. They've got no idea. They're missing it. It's so sad. They're missing it. There's many going to be left behind. Left behind when the Lord comes. Oh dear, how sad it is. How sad it is. And yet it was prophesied over and over again in the Old Testament and in the New. Even in the book of Jude, he mentions the prophecy of Enoch. Enoch, the sixth from Adam, was it seventh from Adam? He prophesied that the Lord is coming with 10,000s of his saints. With his saints. When he comes to set up his kingdom, he's coming with his saints, with his church. We're coming back with him. before we can come back with him, we've got to go. We can't come back if we haven't gone. Right. Yes, we're going to come back. You look in Zechariah again, it's even there, Zechariah 14:5. It says, then you shall flee through my mountain valley, and the mountain valley shall reach to Azazel. Yes, you shall flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Thus the Lord my God will come, and all the saints with you. There it is in Zechariah. All the saints with you. We're coming back with him, and we can't come back if we haven't been. The Lord is coming for his own. Hallelujah. I just trust that as we think of this psalm, and we're going to continue on with this tonight because there's so much more in Palm Sunday. But to realize it fulfilled prophecy, to realize that the Lord was giving a rundown. This is what it will be like. Do you know that gate that Jesus entered into? The gate of the city. It's mentioned in the scriptures. We read it in the psalm, beginning of the meeting. Lift up you head, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. When Jerusalem was governed by Islam, it's not now Jerusalem, the Jews have got control of the city now, but they haven't got control of the mount. But before that, before the war, the Muslims controlled the old city of Jerusalem. And they knew the prophecies. They knew that gate. That gate was bricked up. And outside that gate, they put a cemetery. There's all graves there outside that gate today. Because they said that the Lord would never cross over the dead bodies. I've got news. The Lord is coming. And those gates are going to burst open. And the Lord is coming into Jerusalem on that glorious day with all his saints. And the Lord will reign. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess him. Because he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen.